Christmas. Amen. We're lucky to have Sister Brian with us this morning to help. Sister Nancy's out of town visiting her son back east. So it's a blessing to have the Bryants here with us this morning. Sister Brian's going to bless us and play the piano for us. So if everyone rise, we'll start off with 135. 135. Amen. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs implore, while fields and flocks, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy. Repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No more lessons and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love. Amen. Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
Good to see you.
Good to see you. Amen.
As we remain standing for prayer,
I'm going to ask Brother Sam Burton, if he will, to lead us to the throne of grace.
Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this wonderful hymn of praise, joy to the world, the Lord is come. We thank you, Lord, that the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love and joy and peace. So, Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you, Lord, for our gathering here and your blessing upon us. Give our seed liberty of the Spirit in the preaching of your word and as we sing. And Lord, we pray about this time of year. We know there's a lot of commercialism, but also the gospel is going out. The gospel is going out all over the nation and the world, and people are coming and going to be coming to know the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you for your wonderful work. And so we commit us to you now with joy and rejoicing in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. And at this time, we're going to have Brother Roger come and share some scripture with us.
Morning. We're going to be reading from the book of Luke, chapter 2. The book of Luke, chapter 2, commence reading in verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out, and Caesar Augustus, that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, and everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." May God bless the reading of his word.
Amen.
I'd like to make an announcement too as well. We're going to be adding my wife Linda to the prayer list. We just found out that she has cancer. And so we just lift her up in prayer, as well as the rest of the names that are on that prayer list as well. Okay? Thank you.
We'll be praying. We will be praying. We have a few folks in the church that are going through that battle right now, but God is good. Amen. Number 143. Town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shine the everlasting light. the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wondering love. Oh, morning stars together proclaim the holy birth, and praises sing to God the King, and peace to men on earth. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his head. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Amen. For our offertory hymn, we're going to change this to number 151, Silent Night. Would you all rise, please? 151, and would the ushers please come at the end of the song? Amen.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child. So tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Shepherds quail at the sight, glory stream from heaven afar, heavenly hosts sing alleluia, Christ the Savior is born, Christ the Savior.
holy night. Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming. Lord, at thy birth, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Brother Roger, I'm going to say a prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we come thank you for the season that you've given us. Thank you that you've given us. We thank you for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you so much for this church that you've given us that teaches and teaches your word without compromise. You pass the Wetzel as he brings open the bread of life to us, that hearts and minds will be tuned to your word. Again, Jim, we just pray for those that cannot be here because of illness and those that are traveling, Lord, just in traveling mercies. We again thank you so much. We use this offering not only to further the gospel here at our church, but throughout the world where missionaries preach. And Lord, thank you so much for dying on the cross and shedding your blood.
We have another piano special. Rachel is going to honor us today. Thank you. Thank you, Rachel. That's wonderful. And as you were playing that, Sister Lois was sitting there, and she was remembering the first time that she played in church like that. Remember that, Lois? Yeah. Wonderful.
That's not an easy rendition either.
Yeah.
It's a tough one.
That's right. I think Brother Johnny might have a song for us.
Amen.
There's an awful lot of Christmas songs in there. I don't know which one he's picked out, but it'll be a good one.
Good morning, everyone. Sorry to disappoint you. I don't have a Christmas song this morning.
You don't?
No, I don't. You know, I've told you, Pastor, before, that whatever song is laid upon my heart, and it glorifies my Heavenly Father, my Lord Jesus Christ, and His precious kingdom, that song I will sing no matter what time, no matter what season. This morning, I want to glorify my Lord's precious kingdom. Please. I can't wait to get there. Amen. I read of a place that's called heaven. It's made for the pure and the free. These truths in God's word He has given a beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. There ain't a rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. Pure waters of life there are flowing, and all who will drink may be free. Where jewels of splendor are flowing, how beautiful there must be. Now listen, the angels sweetly are singing of heaven by the beauty so sweet. A sweet voice from the courts are ringing. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. We all are happy and free. There are heavens already over the wheel. How beautiful heaven must be. Oh, how beautiful heaven must be. Pastor, it's beautiful. I know it is. I know it is. Glory. I can't wait to get there. Praise God. Hallelujah.
All right. We'll be having services Wednesday evening. It's Christmas Eve, but I can't think of a better place to be than in the house of the Lord. So Wednesday at 6 o'clock, we'll be having services here. Come on out if you don't have anything else to do on Christmas Eve. Yeah. And tonight at 6 o'clock, we're going to be preaching again here. And the Lord willing, I'm going to be preaching a subject that I haven't addressed in a long time. And that is Christ or idols. Now when we think of idols, most of us remember reading about idols in the Bible in the Old Testament. How that the people would forsake God and they would make idols. We think particularly of Aaron, for instance, the brother of Moses. While Moses was gone for 40 days, Aaron got out there and made an image, an idol, for the children of Israel to worship. He rounded up the gold from the people and made a golden calf for the people to worship instead of God. God doesn't like idols. In fact, whenever he wrote the Ten Commandments, that was the first one on the list. He said, don't make any graven images. No other God but me. He's a jealous God. We'll be talking about that tonight. And so we would like for you to come out and be with us in that service. I want to take a moment before we get into our service this morning to express my thanks to each and every one of you and to those that are not here today. I want to thank you for the sympathy that you have shown to me this year in the passing of my wife. You have supported me and helped me to cope with that sorrow and grief. And I cannot say that I've completely recovered yet, because I still appreciate your love and God's abundant grace that strengthens me day by day. I thank you for all of the prayers that you've offered up on my behalf, and I know that it's through those prayers that you've prayed that the Holy Spirit of God has given me as your pastor the insight and the guidance that I need in the preparation of lessons and sermons that will benefit and nurture you who are God's chosen children. I want to thank you for all of the meals that have fed and nourished me through the past 6 months. And say it sure beats my cooking. I thank you for just being you, standing by my side, upholding me daily to the throne of grace. Thank you for your friendship, for your fellowship. There are lots of other congregations around that are larger than ours, but you won't find many who are as kind and friendly and loving, thoughtful and sincere as those who are gathered here in the Bible Baptist Church. I want to thank you for the material gifts that you've given to this church that have brought down the blessings of God not only upon our congregation, but upon its ministry and all of the people who make up its membership. There's been physical labor that's been expended toward keeping our properties nice and beautiful, and I appreciate every bit of that. Our church and the kingdom of God have prospered because of these sacrifices that you've made, and I know that you personally have been blessed because of it. I thank you for the expression of compassion and caring in the cards and in the gifts that you've given me, especially this Christmas. You are my family, my brothers and sisters in Christ, and I love and appreciate each and every one of you. And I think back over the 64 years of ministry that God has given me. 54 of those years have been here in Chula Vista. This has been my promised land. Just as God used Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt so many years ago, so God called me out of Texas and gave me you. And I appreciate you. I really do. Now, let's go this morning for our message to the book of Galatians. I haven't preached out a Christmas message from Galatians for a long while. We'll do it today. In the book of Galatians, chapter 4, we'll start reading in verse 4, if we may. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for these beautiful words. I pray for the power of your Holy Spirit to be upon us as we deliver this message today, that it may go forth in power and speak to hearts and address the needs of the people who are here before me this morning. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the time we celebrate Christmas. A holiday that was introduced into Christianity as the birthday of our Lord by a Roman emperor by the name of Constantine in the year AD 336. To us born again Christians, children of God, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, as we saw, this is the time when the Word of God was made flesh and dwelt among us. This was the time when God became, as they say, incarnate. God manifest in the flesh. And we celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, who back in 5 BC was born in the city of Bethlehem, about 6 miles down from the city of Jerusalem in Israel. Joseph and Mary had traveled about 71 miles from Nazareth up in Galilee down to Bethlehem to be enrolled for taxation. It probably took them at least a week to get down there. And old Caesar Augustus had issued a decree that all the world should be taxed. And so when Joseph and Mary reached the city of Bethlehem, there was no room for them in the inn. There was no Motel 6 across the road. So they found lodging in a stable with the animals. And that night, there in that stable, his virgin mother, Mary, went into labor. And the Christ child was born. They wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. That's the feed trough that the cattle ate from. Quite an humble beginning for such an important personage, wasn't it? No welcoming committee. There's no record of any doctors or midwives assisting in the birth. You ladies among us who have given birth to children can imagine how that must have been. It's something that fortunately God has spared our men folks from. But you ladies know what I'm talking about. That first child, I was the first child of my mother, and all my life they talked about what a rough time she had. My uncle, her brother, went to town and brought the doctor out, and he stayed with her almost all night before I was born. She had a tough time. And I can imagine Mary having a pretty rough go of it as the Christ child was born. But God entered into the world that he had created. No one was around. So far as we know, it was only Joseph and Mary and the babe. Finally, that angel Gabriel couldn't stand it any longer. Somebody has to know. And so he began to tell the people. He saw some shepherds out in the field, watching their flocks at night. And he flipped a switch, and the glory of God began to shine upon them as a floodlight from heaven, like to scare them to death. They didn't know what that was, an invasion from Mars. The shepherds, in their fear, were shaking. And Gabriel said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And then there was a great host of heavenly saints who gathered together and began praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Then they went back into heaven, and the shepherds who had watched this heavenly display said to one another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. So they left their flocks and came into Bethlehem and found Jesus and Mary and Joseph. They worshiped him. And after they'd seen him, they went out and they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all the people that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. So the first visitors that Jesus had were the shepherds who visited him, who is the good shepherd, the great shepherd, and the chief shepherd. After they'd seen him, they returned to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. In other words, they believed. When they knelt before that manger, they knew that they were in the presence of God. When the baby was 8 days old, up until that time they called him baby, I guess. When he was 8 days old, he was given a name. He was given a name at the time he was circumcised according to the Jewish law. They named him Jesus. Over the book of Leviticus, chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, let me read them to you. If a woman have conceived seed, that's the old-fashioned way of saying whenever a woman has a baby, and born a man child, a male, a little boy, then she shall be unclean 7 days. I remember back when my mother was birthing my four brothers, it was a custom back in those days in that part of the country that a woman stay in bed for, I think it was 10 days. Because I can remember that after 10 days off of your feet, that she had to learn to walk all over again. Nowadays, we've got a younger generation. I suppose they're stronger, you know, and all such as that. I don't know. But they go to the hospital and have a baby and bring it home that evening and, you know, get up and wash clothes and do things like women do. Can you imagine living back in the old days? A woman was considered unclean for 7 days. According to the days of the separation for her infirmity shall she be unclean. And on the 8th day, the Bible says, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. And in verse 4 it says, and she shall then continue in the blood of her purifying 3 and 30 days. That's 33 days. She shall touch no hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary, until the days of her purifying be fulfilled. Now that's the rules and regulations from God for a little boy baby. But what if it's a girl? We got a whole different set of rules for a baby girl. For a baby girl, everything is doubled. You read on in here. The mother shall be unclean 14 days instead of 7, and continue her purifying 66 days instead of 33. Just double. And when the days of her purifying are fulfilled, she shall bring a lamb, a little lamb, of the first year for a burnt offering, and a young pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation unto the priest, who shall offer it before the Lord and make an atonement for her, and she shall be cleansed from the issue of her blood. Let me read on and give you this. If she be not able to bring a lamb. There were poor people back then. She didn't have a lamb to bring. Then she shall bring 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons, the one for the burnt offering and the other for a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for her, and she shall be clean. All of that's in Leviticus chapter 12. It's an interesting chapter to read. Now we come back to Bethlehem and Jerusalem. Jerusalem gets in here. When the 40 days of Mary's purification was accomplished, they brought the baby Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Baby dedication, we have it around here. A lot of times we'll have a newborn baby and somebody will say, I want to dedicate this child to the Lord. And we'll have a baby dedication. I'm in favor of that. That's what they did with Jesus. Here he is, God, manifest in the flesh, an infant child. They presented him to the Lord in accordance with Exodus chapter 13, verse 2. And they also offered a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, Leviticus 12, 8, a pair of turtle doves are 2 young pigeons. So now they got Jesus in the temple. He's in his Father's house. While Jesus is in that temple for his dedication, the Holy Spirit of God moved upon the heart of a just and devout man named Simeon. Simeon lived in Jerusalem. And just at that time, he went down to the temple. The Spirit of God had revealed to Simeon that before he died, he would see the Lord's Christ. What a promise. I don't know how the Lord appeared to him or how he received this message from God, but God told him, Simeon, before you die, you're going to see the Lord's Messiah. So he just walked into the temple and there he is, being dedicated to the Lord. And After he was dedicated, Simeon went up there and he took this little infant child in his arms and he blessed God and said, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen," get this, "thy salvation." "My eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." About that time, there was an 84-year-old widow woman walked into the temple. I think she too had been directed by the Lord. Her name was Anna. 84 years old. The Bible tells us that she was a regular at the temple, and she served God night and day with fastings and prayers. What a beautiful saint she must have been. Now she's in the presence of the Messiah. She gave thanks unto the Lord and spake to him, spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Could you imagine the message that she had of joy as she went to these people that were looking and expecting Messiah to come? And she said, "Messiah has come. I've been to the temple. I've seen him with mine own eyes." The next visitors that this baby had were wise men. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 tells us when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Wise men, we read in our Bible. It's a translation of the Greek word. Our New Testament was written originally in Greek, you know. The Greek word was magi, M-A-G-I, translated wise men. Who were the Magi? The Magi were a priestly tribe in ancient Persia, which today, since 1935, has been Iran. They came from Iran to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. They were Persians. They were not Arabs, by the way. The religion of Persia at that time, this is interesting, was Zoroastrianism, named for a man by the name of Zoroaster. He was a religious leader and a prophet who lived from 628 B.C., that's before Christ, to 551 B.C. He had established a religion in Persia that was the national religion of that country, the official religion, back in 550 is when it was adopted. And it remained their religion for over 1,000 years until Mohammed was born, and the Muslims, being a warlike people, antagonistic toward everything in the world, seems like, they took over the religion of Persia. and drove out the faith of all of those people, killed them all, that believed in Zoroastrianism. That's the way they do. That's what they're trying to do now. If you're a Christian over there, they eliminate you. If you're anything but a Muslim over there, they eliminate you, get rid of you. Now, that's the way they did over there. But one of the teachings of this fellow, Zoroaster, was that a virgin-born Savior would come into the world, and that good would eventually triumph over evil. So the people who at this time were trained in that religion, they had been indoctrinated with that religion, and these magi, the wise men, made their way to Bethlehem to see him who was born King of the Jews. The reputed power of the magi over demons gave rise to an English word that we use every once in a while. It's called magic, M-A-G-I. And we add a C to it and it becomes magic. Magi becomes magic. So the 3rd century, on January the 6th of each year, the feast of Epiphany, that means manifestation translated, the 12th day of Christmas is celebrated to commemorate the visit of these wise men from the east to Bethlehem or Jerusalem, wherever Jesus was at that time, as they followed the star. When they found the child, they gave him gifts. Those gifts represented and reflected the character of this child's life, because gold represented his deity and his purity. Frankincense was the sweet fragrance of his sinless life. Myrrh was his sacrifice, his suffering, and his death. Gold was the tribute for a king. This universal money was brought to Jesus, acknowledging that he is the king, he is the creator, he is the owner of all things. And it probably sustained his family when they fled from the face of King Herod and went down to Egypt. During their stay in Egypt, it helped them pay the bill. Frankincense, that reminds us of the altar of incense in the temple, and represents the power and the praise and the prayers that are offered to Christ as God in worship of him. I was reading something recently about frankincense. It's coming to the forefront again. You'll hear more about this, because frankincense has got something to do with the healing process of heart disease, of cancer, and also of diabetes. It's coming to the forefront. We'll see what happens. Myrrh is a bitter spice that was used in embalming the dead bodies of people. It was also the bitter spice that was sprinkled on the Passover lamb and cooked with the Passover to be eaten. It reminds us of the spices that Nicodemus brought. He who had come to Jesus by night joined himself with Joseph And Joseph and Nicodemus took the body of Jesus down from the cross after his crucifixion and buried his body when they wrapped it with the burial clothes, with the spices of myrrh. When the fullness of time was come, God set forth his Son. The purpose of his coming, as we know, was to give his life as a ransom for our souls. His purpose was to come and die for our sins and redeem us unto himself. And that's exactly what he did when he was crucified. Then he rose from the dead the third day for our justification. And because he lives, we shall live also. That's our hope. Because death is passed upon all men. We'll die, but we'll be made alive in Christ. And the Bible says to die is gain. These bodies will be laid to rest probably in some cemetery, but our soul and our spirit will go upward with God. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And then when the fullness of time is come again, God will send forth his Son again. Jesus is coming. He's going to return to this earth and establish his kingdom. Thank you for coming today. Let's stand together. Have a word of prayer, and we'll have an invitation, because somebody here may not be saved. We don't want to take a chance on you not having an opportunity to come and accept Christ. Will you do it today? Will you do it? Heavenly Father, we give you glory today. Thank you for the privilege that we've had to preach Christ, virgin born, living a sinless life, dying for us on the cross of Calvary, being raised from the dead, and ascending back to heaven, from whence we look for his appearing. If there's one here today who has never in their hearts accepted him and trusted him as their personal Savior, may this be the day when they make things right with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Number 496. 496. Jesus is tenderly calling you home, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love will you roam farther and farther away?
Jesus is speaking to your heart today. Will you listen to him? Will you come to him?
Calling today.
He says that no man that comes to him will ever be cast out.
Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today.
Thank you. You've been a wonderful congregation. I love you. And I appreciate the attention you gave to the preaching of the Word of God. Hope I've said something today that will stay with you and cause you to glorify God in the highest. As we're dismissed in prayer, Brother Gene Rice, will you lead us, please, in our benediction?